Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So, baseball, 1-1 yesterday. White Sox are scuffling, and they are as banged up a team as I have seen in a long time. Adam Engel back to the injured list with a hamstring. Kopech's not around because his hamstring is bulky. They're trying to get him right. No Robert. No Jimenez. You don't have an outfielder. Eaton's on the injured list. You don't have an outfielder left.
Yeah, that sucked yesterday because that was – this is the series, and as short as it is, Cap, you want to be able to have some momentum against a bad Pirates team. And it was a nice, quiet game. It was very quiet early, and then all of a sudden the fireworks happen in the middle to the end of the game, and the Sox lose that game yesterday. So the way I look at it, you know, I saw Giolito out there. It's good to see him at the plate, by the way, getting a base hit. I like seeing that, him at the plate. But we saw him pitch steady. 7 strikeouts over 6. He was great. And then the kid Crochet comes in, and then just the bottom falls out for the White Sox. So here's what I'm seeing now almost on a daily basis. You're just hoping that Tim Anderson get on. You're hoping that Moncada or Abreu can be able to connect. And the rest of it is kind of gravy, right? I mean, Grandal, despite his 170 average, always finds a way to get on base. But you just don't have the boppers, the thumpers that you had when you were healthy. That's the problem. It's going to catch up with you. Now I'm just, as a Sox fan, I'm just holding on until we get to the trade deadline or maybe before that to try to find some more offense. Like, I see La Russa putting names in a hat now, putting Goodwin in the second spot. He's just trying to find things, but it's difficult now because when you have injuries, it will catch up to you at some point.
It absolutely will. Cubs helped you out by smashing the Indians last night, 7-1. Kyle Hendricks just continues to roll. First National League pitcher to 10 wins. And this was a guy who was struggling.
All-star Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, he'll be an all-star, and deservedly so. So the Cubs win. Chris Bryant hit a home run. I keep seeing, and you and I were talking about this yesterday, and in our meeting this morning, in the IDOT bullpen, which, by the way, driving, biking, or walking responsibly, people, really is a matter of life or death. Learn more through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. He keeps hustling these doubles. Like,
I love Wilson.
Like the one, so do I. He's one of my favorite players on that team. And if you said to me I was the GM and I could only sign a couple guys, Wilson Contreras is at the top of my list.
He's just showing you, man. He's leading by example. Here's a catcher that can get to first to second. Now, these are just base hits we've seen all our lives at Wrigley, right? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of medium to deep right center. He's like, yeah, I'm going for two. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he gets there. I love the hustle doubles, man. You know, for a team that seems like, I'm not saying that Ross has lost control or the team doesn't pay attention, but we have seen here, even Rizzo mentioned to us yesterday, like, he's caught between first and second trying to get a delayed steal. Like, you're Rizzo, you got a piano on your back. What are you doing, right? Even he admitted, like, I make a mistake. Baez makes mistakes. Jock Peterson makes mistakes. But here's Wilson Contreras, steady, man. When he gets on base, first of all, he's got a good eye. I'm watching his at-bats, and he's just not trying to do too much. He's not trying to swing out of his ass like Baez did last night. What he was doing, it was just a nice, easy base hit to right center, and then hustling, trying to get to second base. That's leading by example, man.
Yeah.
You want more players like that on your ball club.
I want the guy who plays with that kind of fire and passion. I mean, he's really good, man.
But not trying to do too much, Cap. He's not trying to put it over the fence. He's not trying to do that. He's just, all right, I'm just going to go with this pitch and just be able to just line it out.
He just drove it to right center.
That's all.
Bam.
That's all. He's just like, I'm going to, like Ed Farmer used to say, keep the line moving, Darren. Yeah. I mean, that's what he's trying to do, just trying to keep the line moving. That's all he's trying to do.
And that's what he did. So the Cubs helped out the White Sox. But my question to you, my friend, is you have to make a trade sooner rather than later. Your lead's down to two. Cubs helped you keep it at two. Otherwise, it would have been one this morning. So, Adam Frazier, good player. I mean, look at his numbers. He's a good player. They mentioned Eduardo Escobar, but he's dealing with a quad. You got to get somebody in here who can play and play every day, basically. Trevor Story. Danny and I were reading an ESPN article that mentioned Trevor Story. He's going to be a free agent. He's one of the best shortstops in the game. Trevor Story could be available for the White Sox from the Rockies. He's a stud.
So, yes to all that.
Okay.
Yes to all that.
Okay, so they're going to say to you for Trevor Story, again, if you have the money in the budget to sign him, Trevor Story's a no-brainer to keep here. That guy's a, I mean, monster. They're going to ask you for Kopech or Garrett Crochet and Jonathan Stever. They're going to ask you for really impactful, painful give-ups. You doing any of that?
Yeah, I got to do some of that, Cap. You've broken me down. You got to have to do some of that. But here's why you have to do some of it. See, I don't believe in the Lance Lynn theory of it's June. Bleep that, it's June. Mm-hmm. See, from a fan standpoint and from a roster standpoint, the one thing you saw about the White Sox is when they were fully healthy, like, boy, look at all these young bats, right? Mm-hmm. An Aloy, a Robert coming at you. When you look at Tim Anderson, you have a Moncada, a Abreu. You say, boy, they got a murderer's row. What happens when that murderer's row is on the injured list? What happens when you only have a few of those parts, right? Now you're depending on Lory Garcia. You're depending on a Goodwin coming off the scrap heap. Now you're depending on these guys here to be able to come through. Jake Lamb, guys like, see, that's when you need an infusion of talent. I'm sure Rick Hahn thought at the beginning of the season, like, we got enough. But see, that's why it's not, oh, it's just June. No, every series, every month matters. So when you're a baseball team and you got a lot of injuries, it's not just June, we just got to wait until just get healthy. No, man, you want to continue your momentum. You want to cement your spot as a playoff team. And when everyone else comes and they get healthy again, hopefully they'll come around and help. Aloy, Robert, who knows if Robert's coming back, but Aloy seems likely, right, from everything we read?
Correct.
All right, so, I mean, I think that while you're waiting for these guys to come back, you have to make some kind of deal. Thank goodness the Sox care about the farm system so they can make a deal like this, right? I don't want to do the Kenny thing where you just blank canning the entire farm system. Just trade everybody.
Yeah, give me Carl Everett for the eighth time.
Yeah, just give me Ken Griffey Jr. I don't care. No, I can't do that. Now, you can't just mortgage the entire farm system, but a player or two, if you feel like you're close, do it.
Yeah, if you're getting the right guy. Like, if you pull up Trevor Story's numbers, this guy is an all-star. I mean, we're talking about one of the best shortstops in the game. And everyone goes, wait a minute, we got Tim Anderson. Well, guess what? I can move somebody to second base.
Yep, because there's a hole there.
Correct.
On a playoff team, like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go with Mendick. No, you can actually upgrade that.
Right. So if I said to you, Tim, you're our long-term guy at short. Trevor, can you move over to second base?
Yes.
Right.
For a championship-level ball club, sure, I could do that. But this is why, Danny, the whole thing of, oh, it's just June, just wait. You just have to be able to make one move, if nothing else, to get an infusion of production, of offense, which the Sox are bereft of right now.
Listen, I've known you for a long time, and you're always a guy, Hoodie, that sees the glass half full. But I got to say, you coming in here today selling me this positivity on the White Sox is unbelievable. You're two games up in the division. You have all those injuries. You're on a five-game skid. You just lost a game to the lowly Pirates. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm a Cubs fan, but I would say for you Sox fans, crisis mode.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Here we go.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Air raid sirens, crisis mode, White Sox fans. Are you freaking out today? Because I certainly would be. Could another player possibly get injured? Could we lose to the Pittsburgh Pirates again today at 11 o'clock, which you'll hear on our air? Is that possible?
No. You get swept by...
Make a trade, Rick Hahn. You're desperate. You need it. Crisis mode, White Sox. Flag trade!
All right.
Off the pieces!
It's a white flag trade? Wait a minute! I don't want Danny Darwin on my team anymore!
So,
What is he saying, Cap? What is he saying?
I'm saying you're He's in a free you. Fall to the bottom.
Oh,
crisis mode.
No.
You lost to the Pirates. 11 o'clock today on our air.
No,
you're going to lose
no.
to them again.
We're not
Maybe
gonna...
someone else
All right.
will get hurt.
All right. That's enough.
Crisis.
That's enough.
Okay. Let me just tell you.
No, let me just tell you. This guy over here with the long hair.
Out of his mind.
You know what he said? Kopech. Mark Pryor. I wanted to choke him. Are you kidding me?
Tell me they're not the same.
Don't let me come over there.
Tell me they're not right
Pryor's
now.
Pryor's way more accomplished than Kopech.
Listen, I love
Michael
Kopech.
He's talking about how he's got the perfect mechanics enough to just be injured and just be done. Look at Pryor, the perfect mechanics. Ow! My arm! Take that!
Every morning in the IDOT bullpen, Cap proposes a trade, and somehow Kopech's part of it, and somehow you always say no.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, but if you could go back in time to Cub fans and trade away Mark Pryor for a home run that Cap suggests, like Trevor Story, you'd be all over it.
Like, listen, to Trevor Story, forget last year was a 60-game season. Prior to that, in 19, 35 home runs and 294 batting average, 85 knocked in. The year before, 37 home runs and 108 knocked in. Dude, this guy's a freaking beast.
Where are my Sox fans, friends this morning? Where's Beef Loaf?
They're in the bomb shelter because it's a crisis.
Sox machine, Josh Nelson, Margulis, are you awake? Are we safe? Sox fans, are we safe?
People are...
We got bombed by the Astros. Attica. Oh, God.
The good news is now that we're on HD radio, you can listen to us at 100.3
yes.
HD2. You can hear us in a bomb shelter, Sox fans.
We're not
How about
a,
that?
We're not in it. We got beat by the Astros. We lost one game, but we're not in the bomb shelter. Tell them, Sox fans, are we? If you don't call, I guess we are. Tell Danny we're not in a bomb shelter. We're fine. We're fine.
Sure about that?
We're fine.
I mean, I got... People tweeting, where are we playing Trevor Story? He's an effing all-star.
No, those are the Hawk fans, you know. Trevor Story is a good player. Where do you play him? We got Danny Mendick.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Where am I playing him?
I love
he
that.
He becomes the best hitter on your team other than Abreu.
You remember Hawk, like, Jeter's good, but, you know, we got Alexei. Where do you play him? Yes.
I remember at spring training, I ran into Stoney and Hawk walking in the parking lot at Glendale. They're playing the Cubs.
Stone Pony.
This is spring training going into the 15 season.
Yes.
And I said, Hawk, I know you don't like my Cubs. Bryant is a beast. And I named off. I go, Rizzo's just coming into his own. Addison Russell and this guy. We got this Contreras kid coming. And he's like... have you seen our young kids? Way better than what the Cubs are running out there. I'm like, who? Who are you talking about?
That's a former general manager of the White Sox. He knows talent.
Oh, yeah.
Let's put a Hall of Fame catcher in left field. What?
Let's fire the managers, go to the Hall of Fame as the second winningest of all time.
I like Carco. Yes.
Yes, Rod.
Hell Carcamus. Yes.
Hell yes.
What are you doing, Hawk?
What are you doing, Wagner? 312-332-3772.
Sox fans, please tell Danny that we're not in the bomb shelter, that we're okay. All right.
Take cover!
I don't know where I need to go. Give me my helmet. Oh, God. We're not doing well. Tony, give me my helmet.
Are you worried about the five-game skid, all the injuries, oh, Sox God. Fans? 312-332-3776. Plus,
Rick.
Cubs fans, how you feeling about Javi today? We'll be right back.
Oh, God.
Cap and J-Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So last night, I'm fast asleep. I came home from our game that I play in the Men's Senior Baseball League. We lost. And I'm out cold. It's 9:40. I mean, I was out in two... You know those nights where you lay down and you're gone? Phone's ringing, and I am completely in a stupor, and I'm like, oh, God, I overslept. Look, it's 11:05, 11:10. It's my brother. Kid, wake your dead ass up and turn on the Suns game. It's amazing. I'm fast asleep. I'll figure it out in the morning. I got to get up. No! Turn your TV on. So I did, and I just then was when Ayton had just tip-dunked the alley-oop pass or slammed it. That was a pretty dramatic ending. How about those Suns? They were a lottery team a year ago. That's hope for the Bulls, kid. We can go get the right point guard. Anyway.
We'll talk about it.
We'll get to it. We'll have a bunch of basketball. So the Sox are in a five-game skid. Swept four in Houston. Really good team. And yesterday, I'm looking at the lines. I'm like, I'm all over Giolito to strike out more than 7.5. They're going to crush Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that lose. Oh, is that where you put your bet yesterday?
That was one of them.
Okay, yeah, one of mine was the Chicago Sky. Cashing in again, pal.
How about sending that my way? This guy's making a fortune off the WNBA and never shares it.
Cha-ching. I tell Waddle this last year, right? I was like, hey, man, you probably should look in the WNBA. You look like me. I got turds hanging out of my ears. I go, really? Like, now you have a standard. You're not going to bet on women's basketball? Waddle, really? Now you have a standard. Get out of here, man. Money's money.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
I told you, I know I did, because you've been red hot at it.
Yes.
Red hot. That I had a parlay. My wife was standing behind me. I didn't know she'd come home from shopping. It was on a Sunday afternoon. It's like 1 second left in a WNBA. It wasn't even the Sky. And I had a parlay, the total in the WNBA game. And my wife's standing behind me. I don't know she's there. And the girl's at the free throw line. Two free throws. And I'm 1 point under. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you better effing make these free throws. And I'm yelling at the TV. She's like, did you bet on WNBA? You have issues.
It's still money.
The money's green.
Thank you, Vandersloot.
Courtney Vandersloot.
Thank you, Vandersloot. And thank you very much to Shields and Candace Parker. Cha-ching!
Take that again! I love it.
Oh, cashing tickets every night.
All right, to the phones. Chris is in Darien. Christopher, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to tell you guys have a great show. I love listening to you in the morning on the way to work.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Chris.
So I wanted to make the Sox fans feel a little better out there. I mean, every team goes through a skid at some point in the season. I'd rather it be in June versus September, you know, so they have a better chance to just get better, get back in their game, and, you know, get some guys healthy in. So I'm not worried at all.
That, you know, that's an optimistic view, Chris. As a Sox fan, I agree with you. This whole thing with Danny and the Bomb Shelter, which is a great band, by the way. You see him at Reggie's on the South Loop. I think that it's great that this Sox team is going through this now because, hey, every team goes through doldrums. Look on the north side. Plenty of doldrums there.
Oh, they've had plenty.
All right. So, I mean,
thanks,
the Sox just got to get healthy. And we've got a Hall of Fame manager. Take that. We've got a Hall of Fame manager in there that can figure it out, right?
I hope you have a Hall of Fame medical staff also as these guys fall off like flies.
Well, no one's going to be like Herm, okay? There'd be no injuries if Herm was
Schneider.
There.
Exactly.
If Herm Schneider was there, all these guys would be healthy. What was his magic, man?
I don't know, but you had less injuries than anybody.
I miss Herm there. Those guys were ready to go. Like, oh, no one's on the injured list. The reason why Herm had him ready.
Remember the spring training he showed up? He was like 70 pounds lighter. You're like,
I remember that, yeah.
Who's that guy?
He came out, he comes bouncing out of the dugout. I'm like, oh, God, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Actually, I liked Herm when he was a bigger guy.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? It's like the barber with the terrible haircut.
Correct.
It's like, what? Who does your hair, pal?
Not
like,
me.
Mine is nice, but who does yours? I don't know, man. Well, how do you like it? That was Herm. You know, he'd like a nice steak and potatoes at
night,
being on the road, bouncing out there. But those guys were healthy, though.
Always.
The trainer's not in shape. Didn't have to be.
Back to the phones, William and Lansing. William, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, Cap. Thanks for taking my call, kid. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
I'm not on panic alert. I think Danny maybe had something in his coffee or something that's making him go nuts, the way it sounds on this end. I'll go with Jay Hood. I think Adam Frazier's a great piece. Question will be what you give up. I need to touch on the bullpen, guys. I mean, watching last night, you're against the Pirates, Houston, good ball, decent ball clubs there in Houston. The middle relief bullpen is atrocious. Aaron Bummer is not getting the job done. So I'm going to hang up posing the question, what bullpen pieces – do you think the Sox could go target? Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
You're the man.
All right, Will. You know, it's interesting about Bummer. he just, and this is without looking at the numbers, I'll look at him now that we bring it up. It just seems like he's always in the high leverage situation. He's always in the high wire act. They put him in this position where if the Sox are behind or if there's runners in scoring position, all right, you know, get Bummer in there. Like, I have to take a look at the numbers closely with that, but it seems like him and like another pitcher on the bullpen seems like they're always in high leverage situations, but that's their job, right?
You want a Dan Winkler?
No, you're not trading Dan Winkler.
Ryan Tepera? No, he's been awesome.
Well, you're not trading those guys because you feel like you're close. He's one of the best bullpens in baseball.
Little Garrett Crochet coming back?
Oh, no, look. No, you're fine. Look, you're not going to break that up. You got a great setup here. Tepera to Chapin, right into your closer there.
Kimbrel.
That's a good 7-8-9 you got going there.
Working out.
You're not messing that up.
Nope. 312.
If nothing else with the Cubs, you know that works.
Correct.
For sure.
312-332-3776. Glenn's in West Chicago. Hey, Glenn, what's up, Sparky?
Good morning, David. I saw you out there at second base last night. I'm the manager of the Chicago North Stars. How'd you like our team?
Your team's pretty damn good. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, so is yours, by the way, though. You got a great hitting team. And I think you've got probably the best team in Chicago North. You and the 1917 White Sox, I think, are going to battle it out all the way down the line. But I really enjoyed the game last night. It was a beautiful night in Bensenville. And you got to admit, you know, with a night like last night, it's still fun to play 60s baseball.
Absolutely. Have a great day, man. You have a good team.
You too.
See you, kid.
And this portion of Cap and J Hood brought to you by Molto Meal. Molto Meal.
Metamucil.
Go ahead.
Anyway.
Yeah, where are you going to go from that now? There's nowhere for me to go after that.
We had some pitching there last night that probably could help your bullpen.
All right, let's talk about it.
Like a Billy Alvarez?
Yep.
He gave up one run in four innings?
Yeah. How was Rabinowitz last night? Good?
We don't have any Jewish guys on the team except me.
I don't believe you.
That's the truth.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that.
Trust me.
They check Billy Alvarez when he's walking off the mound for substances?
They actually did. They put the umpires up to checking him. He came off the mound at the end of the fourth. You can only pitch four innings.
Sure.
As he came off, they went, yeah, okay, we want to see the glove, the hat. He's like, what?
I know. They were laughing at that, right? Yeah. That'd be funny.
Okay, so that leads us into what happened last night in MLB.
All right.
You've got... Every game, they're stopping pitchers, whether it's Kyle Hendricks, whether it's Aaron Bummer. Let me see your glove. One game, they said the guy's glove was too light. What does that mean?
Okay, so again, this is the infinite wisdom of Major League Baseball. You know, we have ragged on Gary Bettman in the National Hockey League for a long time, and I still think in some ways they're behind. They got a nice TV deal from ESPN, ESPN Plus. That's fine. Uh-huh. They've been able to put themselves in a position where they can be seen on ESPN. That's great.
Yep.
So, but when it comes to Major League Baseball, it is amazing how Manfred is just completely behind the times. How do you hide from all of this? We're talking about this, and we're seeing this on a daily basis. There's no statement from you. There is no, from New York, from your office saying, here, we're going to crack down on this. And we know that we want to have competitive balance on the team. You don't say any of that?
Nothing.
If this is Roger Goodell, he's there at the desk saying, this stops here. The buck stops with me. Whatever he's saying, right? Sheriff Goodell with a shiny badge would tell you, like, this is enough of this, right?
Right.
But there's Manfred hiding in the shadows. And so where are the rules and regulations on checking these pitchers? This stop and frisk that they got going on in Major League Baseball is nonsense. You don't have a set amount of times you could do this. You don't have any rules and regulations. Just willy-nilly. Just go out there and just freewheel your way. That's not baseball, man. Where's the commissioner of baseball in all of this?
He is so in over his head. They need a new face of the sport. I keep saying it should be Theo Epstein. I don't have any interest. I don't know if he has any interest in doing that. Rob Manfred's a boob. He's a boob. Every single thing that we got to fix, you never hear from this guy. Ever.
You're lucky that this is not like LaTroy Hawkins or some guys like that. Lee Smith. Guys like that. Let me see what you have. What are you doing here? Hey, let me go, man. Oh, God! I got nothing on me. What's with this ounce? What ounce? It's just KY jelly. For my lips, I get chapped. I mean, that's lucky it's not those guys, right?
Right.
There's not enough brothers in the game.
Sergio Romo was not happy last
night. Well, I'm just saying, man. Just get like LaTroy Hawkins from Gary. Do that to him.
Yeah.
You want me to do what? Get your ass off the mound, man. We have to check. You have to check anything. Check this. Take that.
Right.
Man, you're lucky. Now, these guys are willing to get frisked, but some of these other guys, these tough guys back in the day, I don't think that's happening.
No shot.
You know, you do that to Doc Gooden. You do it to
See how that ends for you.
See, those brothers are doing that. See, you want me to do what? I ain't got nothing, man. I got stuff. Hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Gibson, Bob, could we just... Oh, God! He's choking me! Like, no, that's not happening, man. These guys are too soft now. I'll tell those, if I'm the pitcher today, like, get your ass off the mound, man. I don't have anything. Look, I got nothing except stuff.
Yeah, except a thunderbolt in my right arm. Bob Gibson said Tim McCarver came out to see him. He'd given up a couple hits, which for him was a rarity. He goes, get your ass back behind the plate. The only thing you know about good pitching is you can't hit it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's all you say.
Whatever you say, Mr. Gibson.
Yes, sir.
312-332-3776. My guy. My friend Joe Girardi,
oh, God.
Ready to fight everyone, and I love it. That's right. That's next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So... while we were watching the White Sox lose to an awful Pirates team, better find a way to win today, the Cubs were helping you out beating the Cleveland Indians. But what was really grabbing baseball's attention as they continue to frisk pitchers as they come off the mound, Sergio Romo's furious, other ones are laughing, Max Scherzer, three times, they're asking, why are you touching your hair so much?
Come on.
Girardi... was none too pleased. Well, here is Max Scherzer after the game as he stared down Joe Girardi in the Philly dugout, leading Girardi to come out of the dugout to challenge him. This is Scherzer.
This is new for everybody, but, you know, like, hey, they're checking your hat, they're checking your glove. I mean, you're ready for them to check your hands. You know, I wasn't, you know, just using rosin tonight, so wasn't doing anything. That's all fine. And obviously Girardi, you know, for me, it's – you know, kind of confusing. If you watch the bomb at bat, I almost put a 95 mile an hour fastball on his head because the ball slipped out of my hand. You know, the whole night I was sick of kind of licking my fingers and tasting rosin the whole night. So the only part, I couldn't even get sweat from the back of my head because it wasn't really a warm night. So for me, the only part that was sweaty on me was actually my hair. So I had to take off my hat to be able to try to get any type of, try to get some type of moisture on my hand to try to, you know, mix with the rosin. And so, you know, for me, that's the confusing part is I'm just trying to get a grip of the ball. And you can even watch in that previous at bat, the ball slipped out of my hand, almost drilled somebody in the face. I'm not just going to get into it. It's just, it is what it is. It, you know, just for me, it's when you look at how the game unfolded and you specifically that at bat, I don't think I'd have to be an absolute fool to actually use something tonight when everybody's intent is so far high to look for anything. So it is what it is, whatever. Turn the page, move on.
Yeah, I mean, so, and he went on to say, these are Manfred's rules, talking about Rob Manfred, the MLB commissioner. Go ask him, I've said enough. And it was a lengthy post-game. We just gave you a snippet of what he said. But, you know, it's just like these pitchers now are empowered to just explain what's going on. These would all be fined in the National Football League. This is what I'm talking about. Complete anarchy for Manfred. Saying nothing means that you don't care what's going on or you're oblivious to what's going on.
Okay, so Joe Girardi, and again, I think you said this in the IDOT bullpen, maybe it was Danny, that it's some of its gamesmanship.
I said it was gamesmanship. Yeah. Yes, it is.
He is facing an ace pitcher who's going to the Hall of Fame, who is sticking it up your backside again, and it's a one-run game. And he's trying to disrupt his rhythm. This is Joe.
I've seen Max a long time, since 2010. Obviously, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I've never seen him wipe his head like he was doing tonight, ever. going like this, right? So it was suspicious for me. He did it about four or five times. It was suspicious. I didn't mean to offend anyone. I just got to do what's right for our club.
Does he have a reputation as a guy that might load it a little bit?
Maybe
you had a heads up there?
No, I didn't have any heads up. But again, like I said, I've seen Max pitch a long time, and I've never seen him do that. And that's why I did it.
And what prompted you the next inning to go on the field and basically challenge their club?
No, I wasn't challenging their club. There were some coaches that were screaming at me, right? And coaches that I know, and it bothered me, right? I mean, I'm not playing games, trying to win games here. I'm not playing games, and I have respect for the other people over there. I have respect for what Max has done in his career. But again, I got to do what's right for our team.
Joe, I guess can you see why the Nationals coaches might have reacted like that in the sense that he was checked after the first, he was checked after the third, and I guess like you talked about his resume in terms of their anger towards you or
whatever. Yeah, I can see it, right? I can see it. And I don't have a problem if Davey's mad at me. I don't. But, you know, I thought they were attacking me, and that's okay too. I mean, hey, that's all part of it. But again, we're here to win games, and I'm here to do right by our team, and that's what I'm going to do.
You show me a manager that goes after a pitcher three times, I'll show you a manager that's not very good. I mean, like whatever you think of Joe Girardi, you don't need to do that three times. Three times? You think between innings, he's like, okay, now I'm going to load up in the third or fourth inning. Come on, Joe. You want to do it the first couple times, that's fine. That clearly was gamesmanship because your ball club was lousy offensively. So you try to get it a competitive edge. But you take that because there is no rules or regulations put forth by Major League Baseball on how many times you can check a pitcher. Joe's doing that on purpose, and he's going to bow up on somebody because Joe can beat everyone's ass. I understand. Line up all the managers of Major League Baseball, Joe would probably win that battle more times than not.
Every one of them.
But he's such a quick-trigger guy and so emotional. Hey, man, be Billy Martin. Beat someone's ass and win. That's what I want. Joe, you can't be that guy and then don't win the game.
So
that's not right, Cap.
But if they're going to allow him to do it and he sees you keep touching your hair and he says, oh, okay, we already checked him. Maybe he thinks he can get away with it now. Check him again.
You see Max's hair? There is no hair. Thinning.
It's a thinning a lot.
It's like, tell me, Danny, am I wrong? Like, he's got the forehead. There's not much hair there, right?
There's not much hair. But I saw the whole thing, and there was enough hair there for him to get some sweat on his hand. I don't watch Max Scherzer enough to know if what he was doing was fishy or not. But I will say this. You want to blame Rob Manfred for this, and I think baseball is making a huge joke because it's kind of – it's becoming a story and a laughing stock of baseball. But I don't think the pitchers being divas like Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo yesterday, the way he acted with the A's like he was being frisked, they're not helping the cause, right? Like in any other business, if your boss or the company puts down a mandate, you abide by it and go along. These pitchers are being such prima donnas and making it such a show that it's making it more of a joke than it has to be.
Wait a minute. This is coming from you. This is coming from you, right? If they're doing that, if someone does that to you two or three times, you'd be really annoyed and be complaining.
Yeah, but like Sergio Romo yesterday, that was his first check and he was acting like a bleep hole. Like, let's be honest. You come off the field, show your gloves, show your hat, go to the dugout, move out with the game. They're acting like they're literally being prosecuted for a murder.
Agreed.
There's a problem in baseball. There's sticky stuff on the ball. Players want it fixed. Chris Bryant talked about it yesterday, saying he's happy they're fixing it. People are excited that the game's trying to move in a positive direction, and these diva pitchers are acting like their rights are being taken away from them.
Well, I mean, but it is annoying, though, when you have a rhythm. You know, baseball is about rhythm. For a lot of athletes, it's about rhythm, right?
Sure.
So the idea that you get on the mound, you get 1, 2, 3, and then you get checked again, and then you get checked again. How many times are you going to get checked, man?
Well, it'd be interesting if there's a no-hitter, right? Like, there's a no-hitter. Is that pitcher going to get checked every single inning? Because why? How could somebody throw a no-hitter without the sticky stuff?
If you need to be able to check a pitcher three or four times, then your ball club isn't very good. You need that as an edge. How about your ball players get an edge by trying to figure out the ball, figure out the pitcher? You need that for gamesmanship? Really? Is that what you need to win a ball game these days?
You shouldn't, but Max Scherzer's a beast. Now, again, three times, there should be some type of rule. Hey, man, we already checked him, twice. The third time might be excessive. I don't disagree. But if you're going to stare down the dugout and you're going to have your coaching staff swearing at the other team, then guess what? Somebody's going to bark back at you.
I love Romo coming off the mound for the A's yesterday, pulling his pants down like it's a TSA.
Yeah.
Like he's at the airport, taking his belt off.
Yeah, he was inappropriate. It's part of the game, man. That's the rule. Do I like it? No. But those are the rules. You're just being treated like every other pitcher.
Well, if it's me for the second or third time, JR, you know what I'm doing. I'm taking the jersey off, and I'm taking my pants down, and I'm walking around with my pants around my ankles.
What are you, Steve Lyons?
Yes, that's what I'd be Steve Lyons. That's what I would be doing.
They're going to have to do something like they do with replay, right? Limit the number, and then after a certain point, it's going to be umpire's discretion. Because you can't blow, like, let's say you have two of these challenges, and you use them in the first and the third. Okay, so the pitcher comes out and loads up in the fifth inning with his glove, and you can't check him because you're out of challenges. There's got to be some sort of umpire discretion in there as well.
Don't disagree.
Look at Romo pulling his pants all the way down to his ankle. That's what I would do, and also walk around.
And now, he was pissed.
Now chase me. That's why I would. Now you wanted to go. Now chase me.
You're chasing a 3-year-old.
That's right. That's what I would be doing. I'd make a whole act of it. You want to see if I got sticky stuff? I'll show you some sticky. I got some sticky stuff right here.
Yeah, come get this sticky stuff.
Come get this.
312-332-3776. Is baseball ruining baseball? Your calls are next.
Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Hoodie and I have been watching John Boy, who broke the Astros cheating scandal. He's the guy that had the garbage cans banging in the background. That guy blew up because of some amazing reporting by him. So he put a 4-minute, 52-second mashup of the Max Scherzer versus Joe Girardi controversy out there. And if you're just tuning in, good morning. Pour a cup of coffee. Enjoy. Cap J. Hood on FM 100.3 HD2, ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Or watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So we're watching all this, and Kevin Long used to be Joe Girardi's coach. Yes. In New York. Like, they're boys. That's like his guy. And Kevin Long now is on the Washington staff.
Yes.
And he's yelling at Girardi, that's effing BS, F you. And then Joe comes out of the dugout, not after Max. People had thought he was going out there, and he said, you want to go, K-Long? Let's go.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Girardi wants to fight everybody. This is, never mind about managing the ball club. He wants to fight everybody. The chesty Girardi wants to fight everybody. And he can't get a competitive edge with his team, so he's just going to make sure that Scherzer, they're going through his hair like cops on the West Side looking for someone who made a mistake. That someone, what is he doing? They're going through Scherzer's hair to see if there's any gel in there. Come on, man.
Right, Scherzer's like, it's just sweat. And so you and I are watching the home plate umpire, I think, or maybe it was the first base guy, literally taking both hands, running it through all his sweaty hair.
How ridiculous is that? Again, no rules and regulations. You're not touching my head, pal. You're not doing that.
Right.
You can throw me out of the ball game, but you're not touching me.
Correct.
In the era of COVID, you're not going to touch me.
Correct.
It's like, you want to see if I have anything? Check my hat. You can go ahead and do that. You can check my belt. I mean, in the belt.
How about checking the ball? Just look at the ball. Is there anything sticky on the ball?
No. I mean, checking the belt, people pulling their pants down. That's what you want, Danny? Is that what you want in baseball?
I always want people pulling their pants down. It's got maybe sticky stuff or not. All right. That's part of the game.
All right, you're out of line now.
Let's go to the phones. Charlie is in Skokie. Charlie!
How we doing, guys?
Sup, dog?
Skokie.
You know,
my hometown. Be careful.
The pat downs are getting a little ridiculous last night. I mean, that was the first day. But if all that comes of it was getting to see Max Scherzer with those two psycho colored eyes staring at Joe Girardi's soul,
yeah.
I think there's a silver lining right there, because that was the best thing I've seen in a couple weeks watching baseball.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was. I love Joe. That was just awesome theater. Thanks, man. Have a good day. Okay, kid.
I can't win, so I'm going to go after Scherzer. Knowing that you try to mess up his rhythm, and he still beat you.
He's a beast.
Still beat you.
That guy's unbelievable. Jordan's in Libertyville. Jordan.
Hey, so like this spider attack has been going on for like 10 or 15 years. These guys came up using this stuff. Now, Glasnow talked about like the physical aspect of this, but there's a psychological aspect, absolutely. Like you come up having success with this stuff, and then all of a sudden, one day, someone says, you can't use it anymore. That's got to be in their head. I mean, I know that. I mean, I played baseball. I played Division I baseball, and I had a Black Magic 3330. If I didn't have that bat, I felt like I just couldn't hit. So I can only imagine like what they're going through and having all the success in Major League Baseball.
Hey, man, have a good day. Appreciate you. Billy in Berwyn. Billy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call.
You too.
What's up, Billy?
I got to take issue with something that Danny said earlier, calling the pitchers out about being prima donnas and divas. Like, he said, if any other job gave you a rule, you would just abide by it. And I got to call him out. I think that's absolute BS. Danny, if ESPN 1000 all of a sudden started saying, hey, you know what? We got too many people with celery in the trunks of their car, and now we're going to make you pull over every morning, and we're going to check your trunk for celery in the car, I think you would do it, but you'd be really frustrated, wouldn't you?
I listen, Billy, I think you're reaching for something right here.
Answer his question.
No. I will. Hold on. Celery in the car is my personal car and what I'm eating on my personal thing. Baseball, what they're doing is the product on the field, the actual performance. If you want to give me an analogy, use something in the building at 190 North State Street on the 7th floor that pertains to my job. Me eating celery out of the back of my car has got nothing.
Enhancing vegetable for cap.
Here's
we don't
thing.
Know that.
We have a relatively new That's boss. Enough. He's not that new anymore. He's been here over a year, Mike Thomas. He came in. He changed a lot of the way we do things here for the better, right?
Thank God.
We all abide by it. He says we're doing this, whether we agreed with it or not. We said, okay, that's what we're going to do. That's what the boss said. We didn't act like jackaloons pulling down our pants and throwing our hands in the air because he made suggestions. It's a joke.
All I'm saying is that sometimes if there's a ridiculous rule, sometimes you have to follow that rule, but you kind of have to show, like, come on, this is absolutely ridiculous, right? I'll do what you're saying, but this is completely absurd.
They're acting like divas. What Sergio Romo did yesterday went way, way, way too far.
Danny, do you agree that it's a ridiculous rule?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, and I think checking them after each inning to make them prove that they're innocent instead of having them prove to be guilty is wrong, and I think it's just another flaw of Major League Baseball, which has many. But if that's the rule in place and you're a pitcher making a lot of money to throw a baseball, it literally takes 30 seconds. Watch Kyle Hendricks yesterday. He walked off the field. He showed the ump his hat. He showed the ump his glove. He went into the dugout. He was respectful. He was responsible, and he moved on. He didn't have to act like a clown.
A little civil disobedience is really going to expose how ridiculous this is.